Hello.
Podcast Network Asia.
On the brokerage side, I felt that you could be a very neutral party into the entire course of the negotiation. So when we speak to a number of our clients, we can be as honest and as unbiased as possible when recommending to them. If you like to see that your work brings impact and that the information you provide creates value, then I think the job being a broker is for you. My name is Miko Baranda. I'm the director in Lee Chu Property Consultants. I'm here to define the job of a broker.
We are here to answer questions and debunk job descriptions by interviewing professionals so we can put an end to our career search. This is Job Defined.
Thanks for being with us today, Miko. I usually start off with this question. What was your childhood dream?
Good afternoon, Pat. Thank you also for inviting me to be part of your podcast. The question about my childhood dream, I don't think I had one or I really knew what I wanted to be when I grew up. So when I was in college, I remember from high school to college, so you had to pick a particular specific course of where you want the direction of your career to be eventually. I just chose the easiest course possible that will get me a diploma. So my goal throughout college was really to just graduate. And I remember that even after graduation, at that time, I was also just following where my other, at least my friends, were going, which companies they were applying for. And it was really just trial and error at that time. So I took psychology and communication in Ateneo. I avoided taking any courses related to math or related to finance, but that's a big part of my job today. The ironic thing about it. But yes, those are the two skills that I felt that, you know, it gave me enough flexibility in my career, wherever that led at the time.
You mentioned that you followed your friends and where they went, right? So my question is, how did you end up in your current career?
So when I asked around at the time, people were applying for different jobs. Some went to banking, others went to insurance firms. At that time, I landed my first job in one of the largest developers in the country. So that's SM. And it was for a management trainee position. So it gave me 6 months to learn the ropes. But you know, after graduating from college, the challenge that job particularly imposed on us is we had to be at work 6 times a week, and we didn't have any weekends because the malls usually are busiest when it comes to Saturdays and Sundays. So as a fresh grad, that was very hard to digest. You know, parang after graduation, you still want to enjoy. You don't want to take life that's as seriously yet as you want to enjoy a little bit of freedom. So that restricted me in a way, and restricted some of the friends that I had also that worked for that particular company. But you know, it also gave me a lot of insight in terms of working for a large conglomerate, and at the same time, in the discipline that you need to have in order to dedicate that many days or hours and even weekends to your work. So I left that company back in 2011, 2012. Then I did a short stint for a bank. Again, as mentioned earlier, I was trying to avoid as much as possible any finance-related job opportunities. But you know, banking was something that fell on my lap. And I was doing more sales type of work. I enjoyed being with the sales team. But the challenge that I had was that I didn't feel that the banking products were a good fit for me to sell. So, and I discovered at that time that, you know, business development or sales, communicating, talking to people, trying to convince them was something I wanted to do. But it had to be a product that I believed in myself and a product that, you know, felt natural to me. So I left the banking sector. Then from then, a friend again referred me to a real estate consultancy company. And then from there, that's when I grew my career on the real estate consultancy side or brokerage.
Okay. So was there a turning point where you told yourself, yeah, that yes, being a broker is for me. This is for me.
When I started my first job on the brokerage side of the brokerage career, it was very different from when I was with a single developer. You know, as if you're representing one particular developer, whether you like the product or not, you have to like the product. It's very hard to be neutral. You have to patronize your own. So the good thing about on the brokerage side, I felt that you could be a very neutral party into the entire course of the negotiations. So when we speak to a number of our clients, we can be as honest and as forthright and as unbiased as possible when recommending to them particular properties. So that that particular side of the business really made it attractive for me because I could speak my mind. You know, I could share real, very raw insights about properties. And if I felt a particular property wasn't a good fit, then I'll tell them outright. Now, you know, for now, I think you should look. That's not the right property for you. Maybe after a couple of years, then you can revisit. But for now, this seems like a better fit. So it's more, it felt more natural. I guess at the start of maybe in the first few months, I already saw that that was a particular culture that those that part, that brokerage was that had, and you know, it felt like something I wanted to do for a long time.
Was it a particular sale? Was there a particular moment in your brokerage career was like, okay, this is really for me? A sale, a deal that was closed?
It's hard to say that it's just one particular one, but it was a confluence of different things. So at the time also, and even up to today, you know, as you know, we usually attend a lot of events to network, to build our connections. And it was really encouraged, meaning that if you wanted to attend a particular, let's say, happy hour, where at the time, you know, every week there was something happening at night, the company will foot the bill, you know, will actually look at it as a good thing that you're putting yourself out there. So ironically, not a lot of people in our company at the time was as outgoing or wanted to spend time outside of the working hours. So I went to those events by myself. You know, it was very difficult initially to approach people in a, you know, especially as our culture is not as, it's very different. At least the Filipino culture is a little bit more shy compared to others. So it was difficult, but you know, I pushed through my fears of approaching clients. And eventually, after attending several of those events, I felt like it was something that, you know, you really not only build relationships, but you make a lot of good friends from attending those events and putting yourself out there. So those are the things that I felt it fit my character. And those are things I enjoy, as opposed to it being a burden on me that I had to work after office hours. So it's a confluence of different things, I'd say.
I'm actually curious. Do you have a go-to line during these networking events? Like a foolproof line to jumpstart a conversation?
Is there a go-to line? I don't think there's a go-to line, but it's probably more of eye contact, I'd say, body language. So let's say you see someone by yourself or by himself in a cocktail table or maybe seated alone. Then once you can see if they're open to actually being approached, if people that wanna, they're open to make conversation. So basically it's just, you introduce yourself. As easy as saying that, you know, hello, my name is Miko Baranda. What company are you from? And then from there, you just take it as naturally as possible. And also I think one of the few things I did apart from just attending events, was really being active in organizations. I know, Pat, that you serve also, I believe you're with the Junior Chamber International with JCI. So I joined JCI in 2011 or 12. So I was active in that chapter for a few years. Then that actually gave me the craving to find other organizations where I could be more active on and, you know, contribute, as opposed to just attending one-off events. So the nice thing about these organizations, you know, it becomes a common place. So these people you meet on a regular basis and you get to know them better than just, you know, just a few drinks in a bar one night, or one networking event. So there's some consistency when it comes to joining a lot of these organizations.
It seems like socializing is a big part of the job, or networking. It looks like you enjoy it as well. But aside from that, what are the three things that you enjoy most or the most about your job?
The first thing that comes to mind is autonomy. I'd say autonomy. So the type of culture we have is very, very linear in such a way that, you know, they don't break down your neck. They give you a lot of freedom to, you know, make decisions, to handle your own clients, to work with people you think that would be best suited for that particular deal or particular transaction. So having that type of independence is one of the values I believe something that really is important. So it's a very entrepreneurial mindset when it comes to the firm, or at least that type of company. You know, you handle your own set of clients. You have the freedom to choose what to do in the working day. If you choose to meet people in the morning and then maybe in the afternoon do some paperwork, that's really up to you. And then you get to find what's the most efficient way. You get to discover yourself a bit more. On how you allocate your time, on what your skills are, what skills you need to improve on. So that's one. Second would be culture is very important in any organization. And I think the difficult thing about the pandemic today is that it's very difficult to onboard people just because it's very hard for them to be immersed in a culture that they haven't even experienced. You know, if you hired someone to join, let's say we hire someone in our company, it's a very different experience from those that have already had the chance to work with us before, as opposed to doing mostly virtual settings. So that's culture is a big thing. And if it's more of you attract like-minded people into the company, and those that are bad eggs, usually, you know, they leave or they usually get out of the firm. Number three is, I would say, it's more, again, growth, I'd say, growth in the firm. So you are always striving for something more, and you see, you know, growth means career-wise and also in terms of your skill set.
Okay, thank you for that, Miko. Was there a part of your job that you didn't like that you learned how to love? Like an acquired taste or something you thought you didn't like but ended up liking?
What I didn't like? Let me think about that. I would say, I guess also related initially on the biz dev efforts. So there were some opportunities that I felt that were going to contribute to the firm in a big way. But before, it was hard for the people to see the value of those things. So sometimes it's a challenge, but again, it's more of an opportunity for you to also not only sell to your customers, but also sell to your superiors, to convince them that, you know, these things, I believe that we should spend on these things because it will bring us a lot of value. We'll be able to reap more than what we put out in a short period of time. Apart from that, I think that's the only one I can think of for now, but, you know, we can circle back to that again later.
What about finance?
Finance,
you mentioned earlier that...
For reminding me about that. Yeah, so, yes, exactly. You know, then the good thing about the culture we have is we work with teams and we work with people that contribute to the whole. So let's say a particular person is good in finance, or someone is good in admin and organizing files. So we all know what roles we play in the firm. But also, at the same time, we should know about and how to do those things ourselves. But at least we're able to play to our strengths. If, let's say, my strength is to go be more outgoing and to generate as many business as possible in the firm, so I focus 70-80% of my effort to that. Then we always work in teams, so our counterparts will be there to assist in terms of some of the, let's say, their financial documents that need to put together or need to be organized. It's a nucleus now of different people working together and contributing to the whole.
Hello, this is Agnes Ravacho, CEO at MDI Novare Technologies. Come listen to My Digital Impact, where I talk about customer experience obsession with fellow business leaders, about relatable moments on customer excellence, and teachable experiences on customer service. My Digital Impact is available wherever you listen to your podcasts, powered by Podcast Network Asia. Check us out after listening to this one.
All right. And what are the top three misconceptions about your job, about being a broker?
The first misconception I'd say is that hard sell, you know, people think about salespeople as, well, there are salespeople that are really hard sell and just selling products that are not the right fit for the particular customer demographic. And I believe that, you know, one of the skills that help us a lot is really probing, you know, asking the right questions. And from those questions, ask more questions. And before you recommend any property, you really need to take in consideration the information that you've gathered for that particular client, as opposed to just pushing a property down their throat without really listening intently on the particular requirement that they have. So I think that's a misconception. But a misconception that is valid because some people really just push hard as much as possible. And, you know, those are the people they define as, you know, as hard sell or just purely sales oriented. A second is a misconception that it's purely transactional. You know, a lot of brokerage, any sales particular job, most of the time is very relational. So the only time it becomes transactional is, you know, if, I mean, it does sometimes become transactional, but, you know, you want to put it in a level where it's more of, you are building a long-term relationship with that particular client. And, you know, that client is actually becomes more of a friend or a colleague or a peer or someone that, you know, you can have drinks with. And it's not necessarily just all work related. So those are the clients that stay with you on the long haul. I've met a couple of clients that I've worked with in the last 10 years and we still work together until today, even though that particular person has jumped from one job to another. So I think those are the two misconceptions about sales or about brokerage.
Before I forget, I wanted to ask this because of the hard sell part. You mentioned earlier that you enjoy the selling, talking to a lot of people. And then that's one of the reasons why you left banking, because you actually want to sell something that you actually believe in. What my question is, what made you believe in real estate? So what made it such an easy or maybe a relatively easier sell for you compared to banking or to any other products or services out there?
When I was with the bank, so again, you're patronizing just one particular company or the product of that company. So if you look at, let's say, banking products, compare it across the board, the percentages are very, very small compared to each other. Let's say you're asking someone to bank with you, you know, put their savings account with you as opposed to another bank. It's very minuscule, I'd say, comparing one bank to another. And what ends up happening is that, you know, they just trust the biggest bank or the largest bank possible that they feel their money will be taken care of. When it becomes on the brokerage side, we deal with all developers across the spectrum. And given that we are our position being neutral when we speak to our clients, so we have the freedom to really give our insights and our insights backed up with information, of course, backed up with data. And it doesn't seem like we're just pushing just one single product. So I think that's the main difference on the property side, at least on the brokerage side. When you say brokerage, you're not a broker of a developer. So you're a broker consultant that deals with all developers.
So being a salesperson, I think there's always the thrill of the sale, right? It seems like, based on my observation from what you're telling us right now, there's also the thrill of the market fit. It seems like you enjoy having variety, and then it seems like a thrill for you to find that fit for your client. Is that correct?
Yeah, definitely. So we have done a lot of, you know, like my particular focus is into the office leasing. So majority or bulk of our clients come from the BPO industry or the call center industry. And many of these call centers ask us on which locations they should consider expanding. So we're able to really add value, really make an impact when we have those conversations with them, especially if they're trying to expand in places outside of Metro Manila, in the provinces, which they have very little information on. So we can direct them, not necessarily only on the real estate side. Let's say we recommend, you know, we believe you should set up in Bohol, because not only because there's real estate available, but we look at the labor market. Is the labor in Bohol scalable enough? Is it the right labor pool for the type of industry? Second is that how's the local government? Are they supportive of these type of companies? Do they want to bring more jobs into their provinces? How's the academe? Are they easy to work with? So there's a lot of different factors that come into play, and not just on the real estate side. So we immerse ourselves on a particular province, but we look at it on a holistic manner before we put out a recommendation. So we've done that several times. We placed a BPO in Puerto Princesa in Palawan. So it was actually a pure gold building that they converted and then they made it into an office. But we also built the relationships with the schools so that the schools could incorporate those type of courses, IT BPM related courses, into the curriculum, so that after a couple of years, the labor coming out of those schools will have the right skills and will be a good fit for the jobs that are being hired. So that just gives you more of a flavor of how the type of value we provide our clients, not just on telling them, you know, this, that there's building one, building A, this is the price, and then that's it.
I'm just curious, is that standard service or is that a value-adding service? Or I'm just curious.
I would say we create as much value as we can. We always want to be seen as more than just providing real estate to many of these clients. So we go very deep into understanding their requirements. Sometimes many of these clients have an idea of what they want or where they want to go. But after providing information to them, those things can change. So many of the clients, actually, they also don't really know where they want to go or what type of business they want to, what type of location they want to consider, if it's for an expansion or if it's for a new office. So data is a big thing. So we collate as much information as possible. So another example, if we help a particular client find an office in Ortigas, which is where one of your offices are today, and then they decide to go in one building, we do a market search. We find out what are the closing rates, recent transactions in that particular location and that building, so that it guides them to see, you know, once we start negotiations, okay, there's a barometer, there's a benchmark, you know, XYZ company did a deal here a few months ago. These are some of the concessions they were able to receive. So we're not shooting blindly when we go into those conversations. So those are things that we put a lot of emphasis on when we do engage with our clients.
I can imagine the level of anticipation and foresight that you guys apply for every project. I find it really interesting. That's really good. Nice to know. Thanks for that, Miko. And my next question is, what's an undeniable fact about your job or being a broker? The thing that will always be there?
I would say that, you know, one of the conversations we're having nowadays is, will the office spaces be extinct? You know, is work from home going to be the new norm? And the answer to that is, you know, we're starting to see early on, we felt that, you know, many people can shift to work from home. And I believe that some industry can, but there are certain industries that really need a physical office. So at this point in time, you know, we are trying to read trends. We're trying to see what our clients are doing. What does the workplace 2.0 look like? And we are very optimistic that the offices will still be here and that offices still bring a lot of value apart from just a physical place for people to work, but really the thirst and the hunger for collaboration is something very difficult to replicate virtually. And having people in one room really helps build the culture of that company. So as I mentioned earlier, it's very hard I've met a couple of people that are now in their new are new into their jobs, and they really don't know what the company is all about apart from what's written in their website, right? And the job that they've been asked to do. So I think that like offices will remain, even though many people debunk that and say that, you know, work from home will be permanent.
All right. Thanks for that. And what makes you cringe when you read a job description about your job?
I think many job descriptions will have they want a particular candidate to be tenured enough to have, let's say, 10, 15 years of experience. But I think that, you know, as long as people have the right experience, even though it's less than the, let's say they're looking for someone that has 10 years, but this particular candidate has 5 solid years with a good company, and then the type of work that they're applying for is, you know, aligned with that previous job that they had. So I think that it's not the tenor, but more the quality of the experience that they have and the quality of work, the testimonials that many of their former colleagues or clients will say about that person will be more of what you don't see in paper.
Yeah, I actually agree. And from your experience or from your experiences, how would you define the job of a broker?
To define the job of a broker, you need to understand holistic understanding of the product inside in. So I won't sell you or I won't lease you a product I haven't seen myself or I haven't stepped foot in. So that's the first thing that I think is very important. Second is relationship driven. As we mentioned throughout this podcast, is you need to put yourself out there. I still think of myself as an introvert, but, you know, I had to adjust to my job, and I felt that, you know, as long as I understood it, I am passionate about it, it was easy for me to converse with people about real estate. And it didn't feel forced. But I think it's a relationship type of career. And I believe those are the two things that are important.
All right. And what are the top 3 skills you need to have for you to be able to do the job of a broker?
First skill would be, going back, communication. So, I mean, things can get very complicated in the real estate scheme. There are a lot of acronyms, there are a lot of different types of real estate lingo. But the point is, how can you communicate that to your client in the simplest manner possible, that you're also speaking the same language as him or her? Basically, you set there are objectives set, and a lot of times we get lost in the process of the deal. And we forget, you know, in the end of the day, we want you to find an office and an office that, you know, you will be proud of. So I think that's the first one. Second is, you need to, it's very difficult to be a lone wolf. You need to collaborate with as many people as possible. The only way to get a lot of things done is to work with as many people as you can, as opposed to just being, you're too focused with one transaction and you're doing it alone, as opposed to you able to do multiple transactions where you have everyone helping out. So I think that's a quality that really needs to be instilled, is you need to work with people as much as possible. And number 3 is, you need to like people in the end of the day, right? I mean, it's a client-facing, it's a very personal type of job. And it's not a desk job only, but it's you going out there, putting yourself out there. And that's something that you should be, something that you like doing for the rest of your career.
Those are nice 3 things that you mentioned. Now, this next question is basically also would have a, give other people an idea. If you are a blank, then this job is not for you. So how would you finish that? How would you fill that sentence? If you are blank, then this job is not for you.
I wouldn't say that just an introvert, but if you don't like meeting people, then the job's not for you.
Okay. And then if you are blank, then this job is for you. How would you fill that sentence?
If you like to see that your work brings impact and that the information you provide creates value, then I think that job, being a broker, is for you.
Yeah. All right. That's a really nice thing to say, Miko. And this is basically the last question. This question is one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. What advice will you give to your younger self before you've entered this career? So maybe that transition from banking and then to your first brokerage firm, that younger Miko before you entered the office, you know, what advice will you give to your younger self before you've entered this career?
I think that the previous jobs I had was an important stepping stone for the career that I've built for myself. Because you knew what you wanted and you knew what you didn't want. So those were very important. At that time, it didn't seem like it. It felt like you were lost. And if I had to speak to my younger self back then, I would. He was very worried of, while seeing many of his peers identifying and building their, starting to build their careers with things that they like to do, and you still trying to find your own thing or what you're passionate about. So I would say that, you know, those things are important, going through jobs that you know are not the perfect fit for you to find the right fit.
All right. And that's basically it, bro. Thank you. So I know I have an idea what you guys do, no? But definitely this is a good, thanks for expounding the job. And part of me is really curious about being a broker. That's why I love being a headhunter, because I get to meet a lot of people. Just like you, no? I enjoy networking. I enjoy meeting a lot of people because it's part of my job.
Yeah.
Job Define is brought to you by Podcast Network Asia. Check out all the shows in the network by visiting their socials at Podcast Network Asia or visiting their website at podcastnetwork.asia.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.